You're listening to the Evil Orphan Murder Trial of Dima Tower from the Hidden Killers podcast in True Crime Today.
Sorry, Mr. Gilman.
What? You're okay. You're okay.
You're okay.
Yeah, yeah, you're okay.
Do you recognize these photographs as well?
Yes, they're photographs that I took.
Pardon?
They're photographs that I took.
Okay. Are they a true and accurate depiction of the scene after you and detectives in this case began to search the premises at 1240 Malcote Road?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm offering any two evidence, 7A through 7J.
Any objection?
No objection, Your Honor.
7A through 7J will be admitted. You may publish them at your leisure.
Thank you. All right, Ms. Walker, we're going to take a look at 7A, please. And can you tell us what we see in this photograph?
This is a photograph of the exterior front of 1240 Malcote Road.
Okay. 7B.
Also of the front exterior of 1240 with the side garage door open. This is the front entry and walkway of 1240 Malcote. This is the front door. Is also another photo of the front door.
Okay. Could you please point out the blood drops at the bottom of the door?
There's blood coming down the door and drips on the step.
State Exhibit 7E.
And again, the front door with blood in this area and dripping down.
So now we're going to look at the interior of the residence. And let's start with State Exhibit 7F. Can you tell us in which room are we looking?
This is the living room.
And what do we see here in this photograph?
This is the living room floor. This is the male decedent, female decedent, a cell phone here. Excessive amounts of blood on each of the couches here. This is the doorway going into the master bedroom.
Okay.
And the front door is over here.
Thank you. Is this the way the scene, exactly the way the scene looked upon entry by Northport Police Department and crime scene technicians?
Yes.
We're going to look at State Exhibit 7G. And if you could just point out the, in order to orient the jurors, can you point out where the front door is, please?
The front door is right here.
Going to look at State Exhibit 7I. Seven H. And again, in order to orient the members of the jury, if you could please point out, and we'll go back and forth between these two photographs, Mr. Tower, legs, and then Mr. Tower's legs near that love seat or couch in the residence and the front door. And finally, in this series of photographs, 7J. Now, although this piece of furniture looks similar, is it different from the piece of furniture that we looked at in the last photograph, 7I?
Yes, it was on a wall where there was a sliding glass door behind it.
I'm sorry?
It was along a wall where there was a sliding glass door.
What I'm asking you is this piece of furniture different from this piece of furniture?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I talked to you earlier about a diagram that you produced. Can you please take a look at this for us, please? Do you recognize that?
Yes.
Is this a diagram that you produced based upon your investigation at 1240 Mellicote Road?
Yes.
And is it a true and accurate depiction to the best of your ability of the crime scene that day?
Yes, it is.
Your Honor, I'm offering State's Exhibit 9 into evidence, please.
Any objection?
No objection.
9 will be admitted. You may publish it at your leisure.
Thank you. Let's look at 9 so that we can get an idea of the layout of that residence. Walker, first, can you please show us the front door entrance area?
The front door is right here.
And the two bodies of Robbie and Jennifer Tower, where do they appear on this floor plan?
Right here and right here.
And we talked about two pieces of furniture, both sort of brown, overstuffed, upholstered seating. So where is the larger of the two pieces, the couch area?
It is right here.
Okay. And the second?
Right over here.
All right. Now, in addition to the living area where the bodies were found, did you also go into the master bedroom?
Yes.
Will you point that out for the jury, please? Point to the bed. And we see a lot of red depicting blood in the area just to, as we look at this, to the, at the top of the bed, to the north, let's say that's north. Can you point that out too?
Yes.
Aside from the bed itself, is there a bloody area near the, from the area between the bed and the wall, the north wall?
Right here.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Were you able to determine where the defendant's bedroom was in this home?
I was advised that the defendant's bedroom is in this corner.
Okay. Show us the kitchen, please. Now, aside from the blood in the master bedroom, blood in the living room and the front entrance, and it appears to be some drops of blood in the kitchen. Did you find blood in any other areas of the house?
No, it was mostly concentrated in those areas.
Thank you. Thank you. Now showing you what have been marked for identification as State's Exhibit 14A through 14M as in Mary. Take a look for me. Do you recognize these photos?
Yes.
Are they a true and accurate depiction of the crime scene on September 1st, 2023?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm offering 14A through 14M into evidence, please.
Any objection?
No objection.
14A through 14M will be admitted. You may publish them at your leisure.
Thank you. Ms. Walker, again, we're going to focus just for a moment on the living room, and you're going to point out the piece of frame furniture that we saw behind Mr. Tower's legs, and I want you to show the members of the jury the entrance to the master bedroom, please.
Okay. This is the sofa, and this is the entrance to the master bedroom.
And while we have them both now in the same photograph, that love seat that you described as being against a sliding glass door.
That love seat is right here.
Thank you. All right. Let's look next at State's Exhibit 14B. And you're going to have to tell us, in which room are we looking now?
This is inside the master bedroom.
Okay, so let's switch between the two photographs, and we're going to look at 14A and then 14B. Show us that wall that goes into the bedroom.
It's just on the other side of this door jamb.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. All right. 14C.
This is a little bit further into the master bedroom, still turning to the right into the doorway.
14D.
This is the corner of the bed and a dresser that was along the north wall.
Okay. Is that the foot of the bed that we see there, that brown leather or?
Yes. This is like an ottoman. And this is the corner of the bed.
Were you able, through your investigation, to determine whose side of the bed this is that we're looking at here with the blood?
I don't know that.
Okay. This is 14F for the record. And there's a nightstand to just on the side of the bed. Would you point that out, members of the jury, please? We're now looking at 14L. This blood smear that we see on the north wall of the bedroom, is it also accompanied by a lot of blood spatter surrounding the smear itself?
Yes, there's smaller impact stains here.
Now, that nightstand that we saw in the previous picture, did there come a time when evidence was found behind that nightstand?
Yes.
Did you discover that evidence yourself? Or did someone in the Northport Police Department that was searching the house discover that evidence?
It was a detective that located it.
Okay. 14L, but we're going to look at a closer photograph. Is this the item of evidence that was found behind the nightstand in the master bedroom?
Yes.
And why is it that you have an evidence marker there, a yellow plastic number 10? What's the purpose of doing that in crime scene investigation?
To identify items of evidence in a methodical manner, so each item would be assigned a number.
And did you use those markers that you set out in the crime scene when you were preparing that diagram so that you could include items of evidence that were relevant to the case in that floor plan that we saw just a few moments ago?
Yes.
I'm showing you what has been marked for evidence by the state in State Exhibit Number 15. And State Exhibit Number 16. Do you recognize State Exhibit 15?
Yes.
How do you recognize it?
It's packaged in a way that we package knives, and it has our barcode label and case number on it.
Okay, is your identification on there?
Yes.
Do you recognize the packaging of this item?
Yes.
Can you open that for me, please? Here's some gloves. Look into that box and tell me if you recognize that item.
Yes.
Yes.
Is it in the same or substantially the same condition as when it was discovered and packaged?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm offering State's Exhibit 15 to evidence, please.
Any objection to 15?
No objection.
15 will be admitted. Do you wish to publish that to the jury?
I do, but I have another piece as well.
So okay.
I'm now showing you State Exhibit number 16. Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
How do you recognize it?
It is in Northport Police Department packaging, and it is labeled with the case number.
Okay. Speak up nice and loudly.
It's labeled with the case number and with Northport Police Department packaging.
Okay. And can you tell me what that is, please?
It's a cellular phone.
And where was that phone located?
It was on the master bedroom floor between the bed and the north wall.
Okay. Is it in the same or substantially the same condition as when it was collected from the crime scene?
Yes.
In the master bedroom?
Yes.
Thank you. Your Honor, I'm now offering State 16 into evidence, please.
Any objection?
No objection.
16 will be admitted. You may publish it.
May I have the bailiff published?
Yes. Carl, if you can help us out.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Oh, yeah, of course. Ms. Walker, I'm showing you what have been marked for identification. State's Exhibit 17A through 17D. Do you recognize those?
Yes.
Are they a true and accurate depiction of the kitchen area of 1240 Malicote Road?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm offering State's 17A, B, C, and D into evidence, please.
Any objection?
No objection.
State's Exhibit 17, A, B, C, and D will be admitted. You may publish them at your leisure.
Looking at State's Exhibit 17A, and if you could please orient the jury by showing them where is the master bedroom that we just looked at the photos of the master bedroom.
The master bedroom would be in this corner beyond the kitchen.
Thank you. Now we're looking at State's Exhibit 17B. As you and North Park Police detectives searched the area, did you note anything of significance in the kitchen area?
Yes, we observed what appeared to be diluted blood stains around the countertop, around the sink, kind of down the front of the cabinets here. There was some also on the front of the dishwasher and a towel that appeared to have blood on it as well.
Okay. Was there also a group of knives that were readily apparent when you walked into the kitchen?
Yes, there's a knife block here.
Look next at 17C, and you told us that you saw some evidence of cleanup. Can you show the members of the jury what we're looking for here?
There's dilated blood here and around the right side.
And at this point, has that knife block been removed from that area?
Yes.
So the knife block was, show us again. The knife block was there, but now, has it been collected as evidence?
It was.
Is this no longer on the sink?
That's correct.
Okay. Let's look finally at State's Exhibit 17D. And what do we see in this photograph that's significant?
Diluted blood here and the towel with what appeared to be blood on it as well.
Okay, so you say blood. Is there any way that you test for what appears to be blood so that you know it takes you a little bit closer to the realization that it's actually blood?
Yes.
Tell the jury how you do that.
There's a presumptive test called phenolphthalein that will identify when there's blood present versus just a reddish stain.
Okay. So how does phenolphthalein?
Yes.
Phenolphthalein, how does that work specifically? A chemical reaction?
It is a chemical reaction. It's a three-step process, utilizing a swab that's moistened, and you rub the stain that you're wanting to test, and then you apply two more chemicals, and it will give a reaction that's pink if it's positive.
And in this particular case, did you use that phenolphthalein to test for presumptive blood on the towel and the area surrounding the sink?
We did not.
Why?
There wasn't a question in the way that the scene was presented to us, and it was somewhat irrelevant. If the towel needed to be further tested, it could be done in a lab as well.
All right, thank you. Showing you what has been marked for identification as State's Exhibit Number 18. Do you recognize it?
Yes, I do.
Is it part of the evidence that you collected from the kitchen when you did the search and collection of evidence on September 1st of 2023?
Yes.
Is this in the same or similar condition as when you retrieved it from the crime scene?
Yes.
Okay, you hesitated.
There's one knife that's not in the block.
Okay. But it's in the same or substantially the same condition. All right, thank you. Your Honor, I'm offering State's Exhibit Number 18 into evidence, please.
Any objection?
No objection.
18 is admitted. You may publish.
Thank you. If you'd like to put some gloves on and take it out. Thank you. Display it to the jury from where you're standing, Ms. Walker. Now, you mentioned, as I was asking you if it was in the same or substantially the same condition, that it was a bit different from when you collected it. What is the difference?
There's one knife that was down here that's not in the block.
Okay. Put that down, and then we're going to look at what's been marked for identification in State's Exhibit Number 22. So I'm showing you State's Exhibit 22 for identification, and I want to ask you if you recognize that item.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Is it in the same or substantially the same condition as when you collected it from the crime scene at 1240 Malicombe?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm offering State's 22 into evidence, please.
Any objection?
No objection.
22 would be admitted. You may publish it.
Thank you. Okay. And if you could just stand up and show that to the jury. I think I'm going to have to be able to do that as well. This knife that you found in the knife block, is it similar to the knife that was found behind the nightstand in the master bedroom?
Yes.
How similar?
The handles are both silver metal and the blade is serrated.
Is it virtually identical to the knife that was found behind the nightstand?
Yes.
In the photographs that we looked at just a few moments ago, in State's Exhibit Number 17D, we talked about a towel, a white towel that was found on the countertop in the kitchen. Did you collect that and put it into evidence at the Northport Police Department?
Yes.
Thank you.
now show you the oath and marks for identification and state exhibit number 20. Do you recognize that item? Ms. Warren.
Yes.
Is this the item that you collected from the countertop in the kitchen that we just saw in the photograph 17D?
Yes.
Is it in the same or substantially the same condition as when you collected
yes.
from the kitchen? Your Honor, I'm now offering states 20 into evidence, please.
Any objection?
No objection.
20 will be admitted. You may publish.
Thank you. When the medical examiner arrived on the scene?
Yes.
Did you assist the medical examiner in any way?
Yes, I assisted with an examination of the decedents as well as additional photography of their injuries.
Okay. And is that something that you routinely do at a homicide scene such as this when the medical examiner comes?
Yes.
All right. And in this case, the victims were lying prone or face down when you first encountered their bodies?
Yes, that's correct.
And was it important for the medical examiner to turn over the bodies specifically for identification, but also to identify the wounds inflicted?
Yes.
I'm now showing you what have been marked for identification as 19A and 19B. Do you recognize those photos?
Yes.
Are they a true and accurate depiction of the decedents after Dr. Vega arrived on scene and you assisted him in further investigation?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm offering 19A and 19B into evidence.
Any objection?
No objection.
All right, 19A and 19B will be admitted. Where are we in terms of timing on this witness?
Close to completion.
Okay. Jurors, are you okay to continue or do you want a break? We've been going for about an hour and a half. I know it was after lunch. You folks okay? We'll take one after this witness. Okay, let's continue then.
You
may publish them at your leisure.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now looking at State Exhibit 19A, and is this Jennifer Tower?
Yes, it is.
Now we see now that there is a little difference in the scene. We have a white sheet lying under Ms. Tower. Is that something that the medical examiner routinely does when he or she comes to the scene to begin their preliminary examination?
Yes.
And was Ms. Tower's body transported from the scene to the morgue at some point that day on September 1st?
Yes.
Okay, let's look now at State's Exhibit 19B. And again, Mr. Tower is lying on a white sheet. Is that part of the medical examiner's protocol?
Yes.
Was his body subsequently removed from the scene and taken to the morgue?
Yes.
For autopsy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
Ms. Walker, I'm sure you want to previously mark the state exhibit number 10. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
Is it in the same, substantially the same condition when you collected it from the crime scene?
Yes.
And from where did you collect it in the crime scene?
The towel was underneath Jennifer Tower.
Your Honor, I'm offering states 10 into evidence, please.
Any objection to 10?
No objection.
10 will be admitted. You may publish it at your leisure.
Thank you. I'm now showing you what have been marked for identification as state exhibit 11A and 11B. Take a look at those. Tell me if you recognize them.
Yes.
And they in the same or substantially the same condition as when you collected them after the autopsy of Jennifer Tower?
Yes.
This clothing removed from her body during the course of the autopsy?
Yes.
I'm offering states 11A and 11B into evidence, please.
Any objection?
No objection.
11A and 11B will be admitted. You may publish them.
Thank you, Your Honor. Did you notice anything particularly distinctive about the pajama top that Ms. Tower was wearing that was retrieved as evidence?
There were multiple what appeared to be stab marks in the material of the top part of the shirt.
So the material on the top of the shirt was torn in many places?
Yes.
I'm showing you what's been marked for identification in states 12. Do you recognize those items?
Yes.
Are these items, were these items collected in the course of the Dr. Davis examination and the subsequent autopsy of Robbie Tower?
Yes.
Are they in the same or substantially the same condition as when they were collected?
Yes.
We're now offering states 12 into evidence, please.
Any objection?
No objection.
12 will be admitted. You may publish at your leisure.
Thank you. I'm showing you what's been marked for identification as state exhibit 13. Do you recognize that item?
Yes.
Is that item collected from 1240 Malakote?
Yes.
Currency?
Yes, it was.
Is it in the same or substantially the same condition as when it was collected during your investigation?
Yes, it is.
And what is that item?
It's a cellular phone.
And where was it located?
It was on the floor of the living room near the two victims.
All right, next, closer to Jennifer Towers.
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm offering states 13 into evidence, please.
Any objection?
No objection.
13 will be admitted. You may publish at your leisure.
Thank you. So going through the physical evidence that we just did, there was a phone found in the master bedroom near where Roddy Tower was attacked.
Objection. Facts not in evidence.
Sustained.
Was there a phone found in the master bedroom near the bloody smear on the wall, the bed that was covered in blood, the blood stains all over the wall?
Objection, compound question.
Sustained.
Was there a phone found in the master bedroom near the bloody bed?
Yes.
Was that phone also found close to the wall where there was a blood smear and blood stains?
Yes.
Was that phone also found near the bloody pillow that the jury saw in the photographs?
Yes.
Was that phone also found near the blood trail that led into the living room?
Yes.
Did you search the other rooms in the residence, the ones that we saw in your diagram, the defendant's bedroom, office, and the other rooms in the house?
Yes.
Okay. Did you find anything in the defendant's bedroom?
Motorola cell phone.
Okay. Was that examined by the digital forensics at Northport Police Department pursuant to a search warrant?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Was anything of evidentiary value found on that phone?
No.
Okay. Did you also search the home office?
Yes.
The garage?
Yes.
Anything of evidentiary value found in those, either of those two areas?
No.
Okay. In addition to taking photographs at the crime scene itself, is it customary to take photographs of some of the items of evidence that have been retrieved from the crime scene in your lab in Northport?
Yes.
Did you do so in this case, or did other crime scene technicians do so in this case?
Another crime scene technician did.
Okay.
Walker, I'm showing you would have been marked for identification as states 21A through 21D. Can you look at those for me? Now, despite not having taken these photographs, are they a true and accurate depiction of the evidence that was retrieved from the crime scene when you and fellow crime scene technicians did your work there?
Yes.
Are these photographs a true and accurate depiction of the knife block and one of the knives that was found at the crime scene?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm offering states 21A through 21D into evidence.
Any objection?
No objection.
21A through 21D will be admitted. You may publish at your leisure.
So we're looking now at states 21A, and we're going to go through them sequentially. 21B, 21C, and 21D. So is this the same knife block that we just showed the jury a few moments ago?
Yes, it is.
And in a plastic sleeve, State's Exhibit 22, you presented the jury with a knife.
Yes.
Is this the same knife that was in the plastic sleeve that the jury just saw a moment ago?
Yes, it is.
Now, is it, with the naked eye, is there anything visible on the handle of that knife?
There appears to be possibly blood here.
Okay. Let's look at
21C with the naked eye again.
Same area here.
And finally, 21D. Did you send these items of evidence, along with other evidence, to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement?
Yes.
Did you attend the autopsy of Jennifer and Robbie Tower?
Yes, I did.
When was that, Ms. Walker?
It was on Sunday, September 3rd.
And where were the autopsies performed, please?
At the 12th District Medical Examiner's Office.
Who conducted those autopsies?
Dr. Vega.
Is it routine practice for members of the crime scene unit to attend the autopsies in homicide cases?
Yes, it is. We will attend autopsies and homicide cases to further document the victim's injuries as well as collect evidence from the victims.
Okay. Did there come a time during the course of the autopsies that Dr. Vega actually removed the larynx from the bodies of Jennifer and Robbie Tower?
Yes.
Did you collect evidence from Jennifer and Robbie Tower in addition to the clothing that we just introduced into evidence?
Yes.
What else did you collect from during the autopsy?
A DNA stain card.
Okay. What is a DNA stain card?
A DNA stain card is a blood sample from the victim that's preserved on a card, and it can later be used for DNA analysis.
All right. Thank you. May I have a moment, please?
You may.
Ms. Walker, I'm showing you we have been marked for identification as State's Exhibit Number 31 and State's Exhibit Number 32. Will you look at those for me? Do you recognize these from their markings?
Yes.
Based on the markings that are on here from both the Northport Police Department and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, are these the stain cards that you submitted to Florida Department of Law Enforcement and then they eventually sent back to you after their analysis was performed?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm offering State's Exhibit 31 and 32 into evidence, please.
Any objection to 31 and 32?
No objection.
Both will be admitted. You may publish at your leisure.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, if you would remind the members of the jury that they're going to have an opportunity to look at all of this evidence.
Sure.
I have nothing further for you, Ms. Walker, at this moment.
Thank you.
Do you want to let that? Okay.
While they're collecting the evidence, we're kind of in between. Mr. Gilman will do his cross-examination in just a moment. So you heard the state ask, and I'll do so. Remember, all items that are admitted into evidence will go back into the jury room with you, okay?
Good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
Let's wait one moment.
Okay. I was trying to be efficient.
Okay. When you're ready.
Good afternoon, ma'am. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm good.
Good. And you have been a crime scene technician for Northport to Police Department for how long now?
Approximately 6.5 years.
Okay. And most of the time when crime scene technicians are called out, it's to assist detectives in investigation, correct?
That's correct.
And you say you got there about 2:20 in the morning on September the 1st?
Yes, that's correct.
So were you working like an overnight shift or did they call you out specifically from home?
I was called out. I was on call that evening.
Okay, so it wasn't. There's not a situation where you have crime scene technicians 24/7 at Northport Police Department?
Correct, not at our agency.
Okay. Now, when you were going through the video following the blood trail, you weren't doing that for any kind of speed, correct?
Correct.
You were doing that to make sure that you got a full documentation, right?
Correct.
So we don't know if the amount of time it took on that video is the same amount of time it took for the person to travel that distance, correct?
Correct.
All right. And it's not meant to be the most efficient path, right? You were just following the path, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, you say at 3:45 in the morning you get a search warrant for the residence, correct?
Yes.
And that was the detectives are the ones that authored all that and get all that together, correct?
That's right.
And usually at that point in time, they're the ones that are doing the search, right?
Yes.
And then you are going along to document the things that they are locating, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And there were two knives that we have seen that were collected, correct?
That's correct.
You would agree with me that you treated those two knives differently, right?
I don't understand the question.
Well, one of them was packaged and sent off to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, right?
All of the knives were sent to FDLE.
And only one of them had pictures of that you took of blood on it, correct?
There was one.
I'm going to object because this witness is not qualified to talk about what was found on those. That comes through the FDLE.
All right. It's cross-examination. There's some photos. She pointed out some blood. So I think she can answer the question. You can answer the question.
Sure. So the knife that was taken from the knife block, you took extra photographs of that, correct?
That was done by another crime scene technician.
Okay. But that still was done at Northport Police Department, right?
Yes.
And there were close-ups, and you pointed out there were blood droplets on that knife, correct?
Yes, what appeared to be.
Okay. And the other knife that was found in the bedroom, correct?
Yes.
Did not have those same photographs taken.
I can't speak for that because I didn't take the lab photos.
But you took a photograph of it when it was collected, right?
Yes, when it was collected, yes.
And that knife was not depicted in the lab photos, correct?
The lab photos are a completely separate series of photographs that I did not take. So I can't speak for if there was a specific lab photo of that knife taken.
All right. And when you're doing this collection at 3:45 in the morning, you've been informed at this point, at least detectives have, that there has been a suspect, correct?
Yes.
You knew that somebody was seen leaving the area?
Yes.
And that law enforcement was after them?
Yes.
Okay. Nothing further, Jim.
Any redirect?
Yes.
So, in a proper crime scene investigation, when we're going to try to figure out if there's DNA on the knife that comes from the parties, is that your job?
That is not my job to determine if there's certain DNA.
Okay. And although you're not a DNA analyst, can you answer this question? Is DNA visible to the naked eye?
If DNA is not visible to the naked eye, no.
Thank you. So your job is to collect evidence.
Yes. Yes.
And is it your job to document evidence?
Yes.
And if you are instructed by the lead detective to send that evidence for further investigation?
Yes.
Your job is to document everything that you believe or the detectives believe is relevant at the scene?
Yes.
And did you do that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, as to the blood trail, you testified during direct that the speed walking from 2040 Malakote over to 1200 where Ms. Walton lived appeared different from the speed on the roadway going back.
Yes.
Okay. So based upon your experience and based upon your training, why did you testify to that?
The blood stain pattern.
Rather outside the scope?
Either that or asked and answered. Are you asking the same question you asked earlier? Let me, why don't you ask the question again? I thought this was covered on direct, but maybe this is.
It was covered on direct, but then there was some clarification needs to be
made. Doesn't make approach.
No, I'm going to overrule it briefly. Do you understand the question?
Yes.
Okay. Is this, you answered this earlier on direct, correct?
Yes.
All right. I'll allow her to briefly answer it. You may.
My question is different. I'm asking how she was able to make that evaluation.
And so, Your Honor, that's outside the scope.
Overruled. You may answer the question.
So, based upon your training and experience, how were you able to make that evaluation that you testified to on direct examination?
Through my training and experience, the bloodstains that were going across the driveway at 1220 were in somewhat of a V shape. So if you would imagine when you're walking and you're swinging your hands, likely at a fast pace, it's going to make a certain pattern. Whereas coming back on the roadway and even going up the driveway, it was appeared to be more of a drip, like almost straight down, which would mean that the movement was a little bit slower.
And is that one of the things that you are trained to do as a crime scene investigator, is to look at that kind of evidence and opine upon that evidence?
Yes.
Thank you. Nothing further.
Any recross?
I understand that testimony, ma'am. My question to you during cross-examination was, the video, was the video meant to match the speed that you believe the person to be walking?
No.
Thank you.
May the witness be excused?
She may.
Mr. Gilman?
No objection.
You may step down.
Thank you.
Let's take our afternoon break, folks. It's 2:57. Let's make it a 15-minute break. Is that enough? Stretch, hang out, make a phone call, use the restroom. Again, do not discuss anything, of course, related to your jury service. Leave your notepads, pens here in the courtroom face down. Everybody stand, jurors exiting. Exiting. Mr. Gilman, I didn't allow you to approach. I thought that your question related to the speed of her on the video, which you re-asked, allowed the state in redirect to ask questions related to the speed again. So that's why I overruled your objection. I think her answer was very similar to what she testified on direct. She added this V shape that didn't come out on direct, but it was essentially the same testimony. All right, so we'll take a 15-minute break.
One thing briefly, Your Honor, I noticed I heard it from here, from the audience during some of the photographs, so we could just have a reminder to have audible gasps or noises coming when there's evidence being presented. I heard it a couple times here, so I'm just concerned that the jury did.
Tell me what you heard.
When photographs of, like, the bed, for example, with lots of blood, there were audible gasps coming from back, left, behind.
Okay. Twice I heard audible gasps. And I couldn't tell where they were coming from. I looked in the audience. There's a lady on the left who seems to be a bit moved and using Kleenex, although I didn't see or hear anything from her. The lady in the back in the black shirt in the last row also was showing some emotion, appeared with Kleenex. But for the most part, I didn't see anything that caused me concern. Folks, I'll remind you, I will say that several people left Prior to those photos being shown, including the lady, I think, in the back in the black shirt, I thought left. Folks, no gasping, no audible noises of any kind, okay? Bailiffs, if you can assist me in keeping an eye out for that, so that we can make sure that that doesn't occur again, okay? Let's take a 15-minute break, and then we'll come back. Everybody may be seated. Welcome back, members of the jury. Let's continue with the trial. State, please call your next witness.
The state will call Courtney Sender. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Good afternoon, Ms. Stender. Can you introduce yourself to the jury?
I'm Courtney Stender.
And can you spell your last name for the record?
It's S-T-E-N-D-E-R.
And where do you work?
I work for the Northport Police Department.
How long have you worked there?
26 years.
And what is your current position with the Northport Police Department?
I work in the training unit as a training specialist.
All right. And in 2023, what was your position?
I was a crime scene technician.
How long were you with the crime scene unit at Northport Police?
17 years.
Now, in crime scene, were you regularly assigned to conduct examinations or documenting with respect to death investigations?
Yes, I was.
And did you assist with the investigation involving this case with Dima Tower?
Yes, I did.
Now, specifically on September 1st of 2023, did you assist detectives with documenting the execution of a search warrant on a vehicle?
Yes, I did.
And was that vehicle a Chevy Sonic bearing West Virginia license plate 2ZE784?
That is correct. Yes, I did.
Where did the search of that vehicle take place?
At the Northport Police Department in the crime scene unit's vehicle exam room.
Okay. Now, did you take photographs of the vehicle during the search?
Yes, I did.
I'm going to approach you with what's been pre-marked as State's Exhibit 28A through 28J. These photographs have been previously shown to defense.
Can you take a look at these images and look up on your back? Do you recognize these photographs?
Yes, I do.
How do you recognize them?
These are the photographs that I took of the vehicle.
All right. So this is a fair and accurate depiction of the vehicle and its contents on the day that you assisted with the execution of the search warrant.
Yes, it is.
Your Honor, at this time, the state moves into evidence. States 28A through 28J.
No objection.
28A through 28J will be admitted. You may publish them at your leisure.
Right. So we're briefly going to go through these photographs one at a time. And I'm going to publish them by way of a copy on the projector tonight. All righty. So can you describe for the jury the condition of the exterior of the vehicle when you examined it?
The exterior of the vehicle was dirty. There was scratches, dents, paint was chipped. There was damage throughout the vehicle.
All righty. So we're looking at 28B. Can you tell the jury something about the tires that we're looking at in this image?
The passenger side, both tires are flat.
Now 28C, which angle are we looking at here?
This is the passenger side, more towards the front quarter panel.
And do you see any damage?
Just dirt.
And what side is this?
This is also the passenger side. This is at the front quarter panel. There is damage on the hood and on the front quarter panel.
Publishing 28E. And what part of the vehicle are we looking at here?
This is the driver's side, front quarter panel.
And describe the damage you see.
There is damage to the actual quarter panel and on the hood.
Now 28F, what are we looking at here?
This is the driver's side interior of the vehicle.
So did you notice dirt and other particles inside the vehicle during the search?
Yes, I did.
Now, in looking from this view of the vehicle, can you explain for the jury, did detectives locate anything towards the passenger side?
Yes, they did.
You can use the pointer.
Can you tell me how it would...
Yeah,
oh, I found it.
Okay.
Sorry. in between the driver's seat and the passenger seat, this is the center console area. In between the passenger seat and the center console at the floorboard was a wallet.
Permission to approach the witness?
May.
I'm showing you a trademark for identification as States Exhibit 29. Can you take a look at this?
Okay.
Do you recognize this?
Yes.
And what is it?
This is the wallet that I collected as evidence.
From your search of the vehicle?
Yes.
The state of movement to evidence states 29.
Any objection?
No objection.
29 will be admitted. You may publish at your leisure.
All right, so is this a photograph you took of that same wallet when you were doing your examination?
Yes, it is.
And that's 28G for the record. And were the contents of the wallet removed?
Yes, they were.
Okay, and this is 28H for the record. And was anything linking the defendant in this case, Mr. Dima Tower, located on those bank cards?
Yes, the top card, the Capital One debit card, on the back it had Dima Tower on it.
This is 28I for the record. Now, what are we looking at here?
This is the Department of Transportation. It's the state of West Virginia. Information on the Chevrolet Sonic.
And where was this located in the vehicle?
In the glove compartment.
Thank you. And now 28J, what are we looking at here?
This is the Florida driver's license of Dima Tower.
And where was this driver's license located?
In the glove compartment.
Mm-hmm. And again, approaching the witness. Was this driver's license also collected in evidence?
Yes, it was.
Okay. I'm showing you what's been pre-marked for identification as States 30. Can you take a look at this?
Mm-hmm.
And is this the driver's license that you collected and placed into evidence from the search of the vehicle?
Yes, it is.
Right. At this time, the state would move into evidence, State Exhibit 30.
The objection?
No objection.
30 will be admitted. You may publish at your leisure.
All righty. Now, once the vehicle search was completed, what did you do with the vehicle?
The vehicle remained in the vehicle exam room. All right. And did you have
One moment to confer, Your Honor.
May.
No further questions for this witness.
Defense.
Good afternoon, ma'am. How are you?
Good.
Good. The damage that you located on the hood of the vehicle, do you have any information that it occurred in the middle of this incident?
I do not.
In fact, aren't you aware that there was somebody following that vehicle from the scene until it hit stop sticks, right? Were you not aware of that?
I was not aware of the incident. The vehicle was brought into the vehicle exam room to be processed.
Okay, so the photographs that you're taking of the damage, the chip paints, things like that, is just for record-keeping purposes?
Yes, it is.
Okay, there's nothing about that that is linked in your knowledge to this particular case?
No, there is not.
Okay. Nothing further, Judge.
Can you read that?
So, Ms. Sender, was your role in this case to be neutral and document anything of evidence that detectives pointed out to you in this case?
Yes.
Okay. No further questions, Your Honor.
Is the witness free to step down, counselors?
Yes.
No objection. You may step down, ma'am.
Thank you.
State, next witness.
Yes, we have a few things to discuss with you before we bring the next witness in, please.
Okay, let's take a short break. Jurors, if you can keep your notepads turned down, writing implements on top. Don't discuss anything related to your jury service during the break. Everybody, please stand. Jurors exiting.
Okay. We have transcripts of that statement to be passed out to the members of the jury, and there have been redactions.
Okay, so I can read the instruction on transcripts and redactions.
Yes, sir.
Anything else we need to talk about?
Okay, are we good? Okay. No.
All right, Mr. Gilman, anything you needed to add?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Is the detective out in the hallway ready to go? All right. Carl, we have transcripts that I'm going to ask you to pass out. Why don't you pass them out now?
Sure.
No, let's wait. Just we'll have them ready for you, though, okay? Two is the instruction on an edited recording.
Yes. I don't. If you don't have it after, that's fine.
Just
wanted
to be
judged
and wanted to be.
That's fine.
Perfect.
And 2.6 is the instruction on transcripts. So I'll read both of those. Okay, are we both sides ready to bring the jurors back in?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're ready when they are, Carl. How long is the is this, Ms. Fabling?
Let's see. How long do you remember? I can find out in a minute. Let me
We can look up.
I can give you an answer in a minute. I have to look.
About no one, but.
Have it been the jurors in comp? Yep, we're ready.
More of the Evil Orphan Murder Trial of Demetaler is coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Okay.